and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you will, open your Bibles to Genesis, the 11th chapter. Genesis, the 11th chapter. This morning, let's look at a story that so oftentimes it's known for only one thing. And the reality is that one thing is not really important at all. And that is, very oftentimes, we look at the Tower of Babel. And we say, oh, that's where God went back. And at that time, we can go back and we can see the beginning of many different languages. Well, the truth is, we're not sure of that. It tends to be. And yes, it probably is so. But all the verse says is that He confused their language. But we take from that that more than likely it meant that there were many languages that continued from that day forward. But there are some other truths about the history and the human nature of man and about the nature of God and the way man should be in the sight of God that are much more important and things that could help us for as long as we're on this earth. Now, what I want to do very quickly is tell you where we're going to go in this lesson, and then we'll just dive into it. First, I want us to see how this story fits into the history of mankind. We'll do that rather quickly. Then I want us to see in this story, as we read this passage, notice the two things that man wanted to do. And this is by man's wisdom, which is foolishness in the sight of God. And then we'll look instead of what God would rather you and I to do today. Number one, these men, they wanted to make for themselves a name. If they could just make for themselves a name that would be remembered for generations to come, they thought they would have succeeded in life. Number two, the way they were going to accomplish that is they were going to make for themselves a great city and a great tower. They wanted to build something physical, thinking that that was surely some of the most important things on the face of this earth. This morning, keep those things in mind as we look through this text. We'll read the first 9 verses of Genesis, the 11th chapter, together. Genesis, the 11th chapter, reads, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all but one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they led off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all of the earth." As we look at the human history of mankind, think with me rather quickly. In the first chapter of Genesis, we have the story of creation, and God is emphasized in that first chapter. In the second chapter of Genesis, we have the creation story again, and this time man is emphasized. In the third chapter, we have the introduction of that old terrible serpent, Satan, and how man and the serpent struggle with each other to always be separated from God once they truly entangle their lives together. And then the rest of the Bible is, how does man separate himself from that Satan, from that evil force? And as we read on in Genesis, and as we studied just in the past few weeks, man struggled with that, because when Noah was on the face of the earth, the Bible says that all of man's thoughts were wickedness, corrupt, that violence filled the earth. But there was only one, and that was Noah, who was just, perfect in his generation, and he walked with God. And so man survived, the human race survived, because Noah was just. He built the ark out of faith. And now you and I are here today. Wouldn't man learn their lesson? Wouldn't man look back, and let's just take a few generations down after Noah. Wouldn't they look back and say, you know, my granddaddy Noah, he was a good man. And I look at some of the wickedness that's taking place today, and I don't want to have any part in that wickedness because I remember what granddaddy Noah told me about God, and so I'm going to serve God. Wouldn't there be some on the earth in that day and time that would say a few generations after that, I remember my grandfather talking about knowing his grandfather Noah and how God's way was always best. You see, I'm simply wanting you to think, would man ever be so foolish as to forget God again in just a few generations? The answer is yes. You see, one reason why this story is so important today is I don't believe, after I study this story, that this is just the beginning of man falling away from God again. I believe as you and I read this story this morning, man has fallen away from God again and man is at a crisis point. God has promised, though, that He would not destroy mankind again. Their next destruction would be by fire. And so now, as we go into the 12th chapter, not this morning, but as we travel through the Bible and we go to the 12th chapter, it's where God had His chosen people. And Abraham is going to lead those chosen people. Now think with me for a moment. So this little 9-verse story is not literally a pivoting point, but it's definitely a change in the human nature and just mankind. Before this time, God had pled with man to live for Him. But man continued to mess that up. And so after this story, God finally goes to His chosen people and He preserves His way through them. And as we go through and study the rest of the Old Testament, it all revolves around the chosen people. When we see the ones in captivity, the Bible takes the perspective of the chosen ones in captivity. And the deliverance, it's the chosen ones that are delivered. The wilderness wandering, it's the chosen ones that are in the wilderness wandering. Going into Canaan, it's the chosen ones. Looking at judges to rule the people, it's the chosen ones that are being ruled. The kings ruled. It's the chosen ones that are being ruled. They go into exile. It was the chosen ones being exiled. They return. It's the chosen ones that are returned. You see, every bit of the rest of the Old Testament is about the chosen people. This story that we have here this morning is the last story of the way we study the first few chapters of Genesis. That's where all of this falls into play of the history of mankind and in the Old Testament. But now let's notice, what is it that they wanted to do? Some things that we can learn and take home as application this morning. What is it that they wanted to do? If you notice there in verse 4, they wanted to let us make us a name. That's the mid part of verse 4. Let us make us a name. What is it about man that they always want to be remembered for something? You know, I remember when I was in college, we were told in our social club, you need to gather so much money, usually several hundred dollars, and you need to leave something on campus with your inscription on it. Well, I didn't understand that. I said, what are you talking about? And they said, oh, you always want to leave something behind so that you can be remembered. And so that years later you can walk across this campus with your children and you can say, yeah, I remember when I came to school here and that's what we left behind. You know, I still don't understand it completely, but isn't that the nature of man? Man always, the nature of man is, let's do something great. Let's do something so that we would be remembered. And here are these people. They have the command by God to go and replenish all of the earth. And instead, what they do is they say, let us stay together. Let's not be scattered. Let's stay together so that we can pull together as a strength and security in numbers, and so that we'll have the resources that all of us have, and let us work together so that we can build something, so that we'll have a name for generations to come. Today, there are individuals that work day and night. Now, I know this isn't true with everything that I'm about to suggest to you, but there are many that work day and night for an invention because they just want to be remembered for some invention. There are some that are striving so hard day in and day out because they want to accomplish something, not for the thing they're accomplishing, but because they want to be remembered for their accomplishment. There are those that are working so hard to create a powerful portfolio so that they'll have a huge estate to leave behind, so that others will talk about and remember them for what they had when they died, because of the simple reason they want to be remembered. There are some in sports and in theater, actors and actresses. Some do it because they enjoy it. Others do it because they love the fame. They just want to be known and remembered. Let us see that as these people set out to create for themselves a name, they strive to create themselves a name by their own wisdom, and that was the foolishness with God. There are two things, one in each of these points today, that I think are somewhat humorous, and I hope that you see a little humor in them, but much more than the humor is the important point that God makes. God, in these few verses, makes a mockery of man whenever man makes a mockery of Him. And so here, paint this picture in your mind, if you will. Here's a group of men that say, we want to create ourselves a name. When people come by and they look at this tower and they look at this city, and it's hundreds of years from now, we want them to think back to us. Do you remember what verse 9 said that you just read? Verse 9, the Lord says, oh, they're going to have a name, all right. They're going to have a name that will be remembered for generations. And that name is going to be Babel. You ever turn to anybody today and they didn't make any sense to you? And you say to them, you're just babbling. That's where this came from. Oh, every time you use the phrase, the word babbling, you're remembering the name of these people. They wanted to be remembered for some great work, and they wanted everyone to respect them. And now, thousands of years later, you and I remember them, and we speak of them often. And every time we do it, it's in a disrespectful way to say, you're not making any sense whatsoever. You're confused. Brethren, let us note that any time we want to do something great, it'll never be accomplished without God. And if we strive to accomplish something great without God, it'll be babbling. It'll be confusion. It'll never result in giving ourselves a great name as these people set out. As you and I look to the name that we should accomplish in our life is the name of Christ, Christianity. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, tells us in verse 1, a good name is rather be chosen than great riches and loving favor than silver and gold. Now I want, if you will, to imagine in your mind this very vividly, and I want you to be very honest with yourself. If we had a table right here this morning, and there was a tablecloth over it, and I could pull the cloth off of that table, and here in cold cash would be $5 million. And then over here on this side, we could say, listen, here is a bad or a good reputation. A good reputation. You can have either one you want this morning, but only one. For the rest of your life, you could only have one. You could have the $5 million tax-free. Go do anything you want. Or you could have a good name. Which would you choose? Brethren, you and I know there's many in this world the majority in this world would not think twice. They'd say, I don't care what people think. I don't care what kind of person I am. Give me the $5 million and I'll be anybody I want to be. That's not true. If you and I truly believe God's Word, we wouldn't have to think twice. Just like that, we'd say, give me the good name. Why? Because it's rather to be chosen than great riches. Give me a neighbor that says, he's a good man. A loving favor towards him. Give me a church that says, he's a good man. A loving favor. Give me a community that says, he's a good person. And you have something that's better than gold and silver. And gold and silver will never buy it. You see, that's the name that we're striving to have. As we look in the Bible, the word Christian, we only see the word Christian used three times. We see that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch in Acts the 11th chapter. And as we see this, we can't say for sure, but it seems very strongly implied that this was not the name that God gave His followers. It does not even seem the name that they gave themselves. What seems to be strongly implied that was because they had obeyed the teachings of Christ and because they taught the teachings of Christ, those around about them, even outside of the church, referred to them as Christians. You see, the Lord isn't looking for you and I to wear a name that's just a verbal name and verbal only. The Lord's looking for you and I to wear a name that describes us. Later in that same book of Acts, the word Christian would be used again, and this time he'd be saying, it'd be King Agrippa saying, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. King Agrippa was not saying, now almost you persuade me to be called, verbally called a Christian. That wasn't what he was saying. He was saying, almost you persuaded me to live such a changed life that those around would look upon me and they would give me a new name. Instead of just calling me a man or calling me Agrippa, they would say, now that's a Christian. Later Peter would write in 1 Peter the 4th chapter that we're all going to suffer. But he said, for us to make sure that we don't suffer as a thief, a murderer, or evildoer, or busybody, but rather that any man suffer as a Christian and not be ashamed. Brethren, it takes some sacrificing to be a Christian. There's going to be some suffering along the way, but that's part of the name of Christian. And so therefore, you and I must strive with great effort to wear the name of Christ because a name is important. And instead of you and I looking to physical things, instead of you and I saying, let us build up something that our grandkids will remember us by. Let us build up something here at East Gadsden so that whenever we have a 100-year anniversary, they'll look back and they'll say, well, those people at the 53rd year, they built a great building out here. Or they went out and they did this great physical work. Brethren, let it be said that we were Christians. And we served the Almighty God. That we were the body of Christ as He wanted us to be. And that we would never sacrifice in any way the doctrines, but that we would suffer physically for the cause of Christ. Now listen, this is a very important point. If you and I are ever to be what Christ wants us to be, we have to go to John the 13th chapter to learn the point of how to be known as Christians. Notice as we look through how the word Christian is used in the Bible, it's what others are referring to the individuals. And so now we should ask the question, well, how do I live so that others will look at us? How do we act and react here at East Gadsden so that the community will look at us and say, now that's Christians over there. Jesus said it like this. He said, a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. And by this, here it is, may all men know that you are my disciples. Brethren, If we're going to wear the name of Christ, the only way to truly wear that name of Christ is by serving the Almighty God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then keeping that second commandment, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Well, how do I do it? I love each other just as Christ loved us. Well, how much did Christ love us? He never did anything to hurt us. As a matter of fact, Christ did everything that He could do to help us. Christ even gave His life on the cross. Brethren, let me realize that it's very important that I wear the name that I should wear. But now, moving on, let's see also in this story of the Tower of Babel a very important point. And that is, what did they set out to build? They didn't have any stone in that area, at least not many stone, and they needed many stones if they were going to build this tower. So they found out a way to fire brick, and so they created for themselves brick. And then they went out and they dug up slime or mud, and they created for themselves a mortar. And they began working very hard to build this building. Now, I told you there was something humorous in both points. Remember point number one, the humorous fact was they wanted to create a name that everyone would remember, and they did. The name is confusion. Listen to this second point, and this is straight from the Word of God. They were so proud of what they were building that their plan was to build something that actually entered into the heaven. Now here, heaven being referred to singular seems to be what they had in mind was the heaven that God dwells in. Also could be translated that the tower, the head of the tower, would be in heaven. And so they literally wanted to build something that would go so high that they would be right there in the presence of God. And apparently they were having a great success at this. It was being pretty big, pretty tall. But now here's what's humorous. God says of this huge structure, the Almighty God that can see everything, let me go down. Let me go down to earth just so I can see what man's working on. Can you imagine what their thoughts must have been every day? Every day they must have worked on this thing and thought, well, people could see this for miles and miles around. Why, if they did believe in the Almighty God, they were probably thinking, God's going to look down and He's going to be in awe of how great this work is. And instead, God, using a way to expose man's foolishness, says, your work is so minor, so minute, so tiny, I can't even see it from heaven. If I'm going to see it, I'm going to have to come down to earth and stand beside you. Brethren, we know the Almighty God can see everything from heaven. But He uses the language of man to expose the foolishness of man. And brethren, I hope you and I realize that in our individual lives and in our families and in the church, if we think that we're building anything that's going to be grand in the sight of God, it has to be by God's guidelines. You and I might set out to build a beautiful, what we would call a Christian home. But if it's not by God's guidelines, God's not going to look down from heaven and say, that's a beautiful Christian home. It has to be His guidelines. We may strive to be a congregation that is the church of Christ, but if it's not by God's guidelines, He's not going to look down from heaven and find satisfaction with it. Brethren, let us realize that from that day and even to this day, man has the ability to build things that are not pleasing to God. Things that in man's sight seem like great buildings, seem like great works, even takes a great amount of planning and purpose. But yet in God's eyes, of it's foolishness. As we look to this, you and I should make the application and take this home with us. We're all builders if we're a part of Christ's church. were builders of the kingdom of heaven. It was Christ that turned to His apostles before He left and He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission. What is our purpose here in the church? Our Great Commission is to go out and to save the lost. When we turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter, and we see parable after parable about the kingdom of heaven, the church on this earth that will be delivered by Christ into heaven, we say, what's the purpose of the church? Well, of the seed that was sown in the good ground, it grew. Did it just stop there? No, it brought forth fruit. Some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. We read down a little further and we get to verse 30 and 31 of the mustard seed. And what's the purpose of that parable? It says that it was a tiny, tiny little seed, but it grew to produce one of the largest herbs. What's the teaching? The church started small, but it's to grow much, much larger than what it started. We read on one verse more and we see the leaven. One little measure of leaven and three measures of meal. And before long, what did the leaven do? It grew. It leavened all the rest of the meal. We read on a little further and we see the net. And the net is the kingdom of heaven. And what does it do? It sweeps through the seas and it pulls in many, many fish. Not everyone that it pulls in will be saved, but that's left to God on the day of judgment to do sorting. Brethren, one thing that reads loud and clear as you and I study the church, the kingdom of heaven, one and the same there, as we study those from the Bible, the message that rings loud and clear is that each one that's a part of that kingdom is to be a builder in it, building the kingdom of heaven up so that more will be in it. This morning, I need to honestly ask myself, if someone were building a tower, it would be easy for me to look upon that person and tell whether or not they were building. If the person standing doing nothing, you couldn't say they were building the tower. So it is in the kingdom of heaven. Can I say that I'm a builder in the kingdom of heaven? If I'm doing nothing, I cannot say that I'm a builder. Now, maybe I've been a builder in the past, but that doesn't stand in the kingdom of heaven. There's no retirement plan on earth in the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, I must be a builder today. I can't say, well, you know, back three gospel meetings ago, I did invite somebody. Or back 10 years ago, I did study with somebody. The question this morning that I need to ask is, what kind of name am I building today? Am I Christ-like today? And what kind of building am I doing today? From the people of Babel, we learn some important things. We can create a name without God, but it'll be confusion. We can build some things without God, but in the end, He'll put it all to rest and it'll be emptiness, vanity. This morning, are you a part of the kingdom of heaven? Are you a part of the kingdom of heaven because you've listened to what Christ has said, what the apostles taught in their doctrine of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized for the remission of sins, and living and being a builder? Have you fallen away at any time? This morning, please realize, as we see this story, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of reward is to live by the name of Christ and to work to be a builder in the kingdom. If we can help you in any way this morning, we want to. Please, be honest with yourself. There have been great things happening among this good group of people here. The only way great things continue to happen is when each of us continue to do right. Are you right this morning with your God? If you're not, make it right before you leave. We can help in any way. Come as we stand, as we sing.